My name is Kim McDonald, and I'm an active leader here at New Philadelphia Itaewon. I recently got back from a week-long mission trip to Nepal, and I want to share our field report and my personal testimony with you today. From January 30th to February 6th, our team of 10 ministered with love and power in the nation of Nepal. Our diverse crew had more Malaysians than Korean Americans, representing a new dispensation in New Philly's missions ministry. Our members were from the Hongdae and Itaewon campuses. In addition, we had a son from afar, from Vietnam, and another from Canada. We were honored to work with Pastor B.P. Kanal, our local contact through Native Partners for World Missions. We sowed into his ministries both in the capital city in Kathmandu and also in a more remote southern region of Hitada. We had two services in Kathmandu at the Lord's Assembly Church, where we released encouragement and a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit over the youth, who are often the only ones in their school who follow Christ. We also ministered to the new missionary training center in Hitada, which was prayed and labored into existence by Uncle BP and the first New Philly missions trip to Nepal in 2012. What was once an empty plot of land on our previous trip is now marked with living stones and a growing Christian community. Praise the Lord. The highlight of our ministry, though, were our two youth revival services. Our ministry time in Sarlahi was marked with the fire of God, as so many fell under the weight of his glory. Several also spontaneously received the gift of tongues as they were baptized by the Holy Spirit and with fire. During our last service at Hitada, God was releasing deep inner healing and equipping his children to rise up as mighty warriors and intercessors. We were able to see the fruit of what was sown in by the previous Nepal missions team as well, as the youth who attended came from churches who first experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at a New Philly revival service 3 years prior. This time around, many were being permanently set apart for his glory, as 31 youth responded to a full-time ministry altar call. In a nation where less than 1% profess Christ as their Lord and Savior, it was an immense honor to seal God's work over these future ministers. Over the course of 1 week, we were able to minister to a total of 406 people and 27 local pastors. And to top it all off, we adopted a puppy to be a guard dog for one of the local churches. We also attended a Nepali wedding and danced the night away, celebrating what God is doing in Nepal. Thank you so much for all your prayers and support in making this trip possible. It was a blessed and amazing time. Now I will share with you my personal testimony. John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." A few weeks ago, I spent 6 days with 9 other beautiful people traveling through the Himalayas, spreading the wonders of our Father. During our time there, we saw his tangible grace as he saved us many times as we drove through the tiny mountain roads on the edges of cliffs. We saw his miracles as a lady was healed from leg pain. We saw his faithfulness as he helped us get a team member's phone out of a squatty potty. But this is not what I want to talk to you about today. I want to share with you about one moment that changed my life forever. It changed the way I think about God, the way I think about missionaries, local and foreign. It even changed the way I think about myself. On the Monday of our trip, we were in a smaller city called Hitada, about 8 hours south of Kathmandu. We were invited to a spiritual revival prayer service at one of the local churches. Throughout the day, we saw God move in many ways. Just being there was a testimony of God's grace, as there were many political tensions in the region before we arrived. But as we were leaving the church, something happened on the road a few kilometers away in the direction of our hotel. We were stuck on the side of the road with many other people waiting for information. Uncle BP, the local pastor working with us through Native Partners for World Missions, went and tried to figure out what was happening. Now, there's a saying in English. It's kind of gangster, to be honest. It goes, things just got real. That is the best way to describe what happened next. Things got real. We were told that someone had been in an accident and was killed on the side of the road ahead of us. Their family was blocking traffic from going through and protesting about the situation. Eventually, after spending a few hours on the highway and visiting a local's house, we were slowly on our way back to the hotel. As we drove past the place where the accident happened, we saw a huge dump truck on its side. Many people and soldiers crowded around either side of the road, and eventually, evidently, the person's body that was covered with a blanket. We found out that it was a woman who had been walking home from work. Uncle BP began to tell us about a spirit of darkness that was over this certain area. It caused drivers to see the road differently, accidents to happen out of nowhere, and many terrible things to happen to the people living there. I'm going to be honest, I don't do well with death. And I was weeping the whole time since we found out that there was an accident. Sitting there, I had a revelation. This is real. This is a real thing. There are pastors and Christians who live and minister here. I was sitting there on the highway by this truck in the middle of this tragic situation for only 5 minutes. But these people live and fight here. Sitting there in the pitch black, I was overcome by the grief, by the hardships, by the daily fighting that happens in this place. As I prayed, I felt God say, "Yes, the darkness is real, but I have overcome. I have overcome." Yes. The light you carry inside of you is brighter and stronger than anything outside this van. Those words resounded in my heart. I have overcome. The men and women living for the kingdom in Nepal live like this. They live as overcomers. Their families disown them. They're attacked for their faith, and they have overcome. We had the privilege to meet about 27 local pastors during our trip there, and I was amazed by them. We met one pastor in particular whose story really impacted me. His name is Pastor Kumar. He had come from one of the villages surrounding Hatata. I first saw him sitting on the small bench in the back of the room. My eyes couldn't help but be drawn to his face because of the joy that was radiating from his eyes and his smile. He looked so young and too full of joy. To be honest, I prejudged him and decided that his story might not be as intense as the others we had heard that day. I couldn't have been more wrong. Over lunch, Pastor Kumar very naturally and calmly began to share his story with us. He had been a professor in Kathmandu, and he had left it all to move to a small village. He married a woman whose family was Hindu. They were disowned because he was a Christian. As events unfolded, he had opened an orphanage. They currently have 15 youth living in their house. These children pray together every morning before leaving for school and are taught to worship the one true God. He told us that he walks 14 hours to the village to get these orphans and bring them to a home. So, think about the fact that he and his wife were disowned by family. They raised 15 youth and have a 3-year-old daughter of their own. Think about the atmosphere of Nepal that I just described to you. Would you believe me if I told you that he was only 25 years old? It would be one thing to say that his story was an isolated incident, but it's not. Pastor Kumar's story is normal in Nepal. Think about Pastor Porpu and Mia, who travel hours up into the Himalayas to minister to Tibetan refugees. Think about Pastor Prabin, who lived at a witch doctor's house and was then miraculously healed by Jesus, became a Christian, but was also disowned by his family, then had to live at the church because he had nowhere else to go. The stories go on. Even while we were getting ready to come home, Uncle BP told us about a church that had been attacked, the building destroyed, and the pastor kidnapped only a few hours away from where we were doing ministry. These pastors carry such humility. I felt like I wasn't even a strong enough Christian to sit at the table with them, and they wanted prayer from us. Hebrews 11 talks about believers who have suffered for their faith. It says the world is not worthy of them. This is true for the believers in Nepal. They have given up everything for the sake of Christ, family, money, a home, and so many other things. These are the champions of heaven. I imagine that God reads the chapter of Hebrews like this. And what more shall I say? For would time fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, of David and Samuel, and of Pastor Kumar, of Pastor Porpu, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and are reshaping the next generation of Nepal, who climb Himalayan mountains to preach the gospel. Some were tortured, others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. Those in Nepal suffer being disowned, being kidnapped. They were stoned, they were killed with the sword, those of whom the world is not worthy. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those in Nepal included, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. My life is changed forever because of these believers. I want to share one last thing with you. One of my expectations for going to Nepal was to see the dead raised. This is something that I've secretly wanted for a long time, but never had faith to say until now. We didn't see any dead raised this time, but I learned something very valuable about this. For the people of Nepal, this would not be something that would just be cool to see God move in a really powerful way. It would be a moment of truth. As Nepal has the most Hindus in their nation per capita in the world, resurrection would have an intense impact. The Hindu religion sees death as karma, the natural cycle of life. They see things like life support as hindering that karma. I wonder how they would see resurrection. I wonder how the Lord would powerfully affect their grid if they saw a dead person being raised to life in the name of Jesus Christ. I now realize that I need to begin to see the power of God like this. The power of God is not a toy that I want to play with simply because I want to see God move. Rather, it is a way for the Almighty to show himself to us. The demonstration and the manifestation of his power is often a matter of life and death. How real these things have become to me. How serious my walk has become. Living for Christ is not just a good feeling. I live for Christ and carry his fire so others may know him. So people may be filled to continue the destiny that God has put in them. It's life and death in so many ways. And I know that Jesus said, in this world, we will have tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world. On behalf of my team, I would like to thank you, New Philadelphia Itaewon, for your faithful prayers, for fasting, and financially supporting and helping to make this trip possible. All the revelation and ministry fruit that we bring back from the field is for us to partake in all together. May God continue to use us as he continues to be glorified in Nepal, in Korea, and throughout the nations. Thank you, and God bless you.